First, a really brief introduction to Food for Peace, because a lot of people don't know that much about us, and I see a lot of faces out there I don't recognize. We are an office within the Bureau of Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Assistance at USAID. We're a very large office. We're an approximately $2 billion food security program. And we rely on a combination of in-kind food commodities that we distribute, and also significant cash resources courtesy of President Obama's efforts to reform food aid starting several years ago. The vast majority of our budgets are spent on meeting immediate life-saving food and nutrition needs of vulnerable populations in the midst of conflicts, natural disasters, other complex emergencies. But we also allocate approximately $400 million per year to longer-term resilience programs. And we do carry out programs in areas such as northern Kenya, DRC, Ethiopia, Mali, northern Uganda. So I think just hearing that list of countries, it's clear to you, as it is to us, that conflict is something that we live and breathe. How do we deal better with conflict? How do we address conflict shocks better? And the linkages between conflict, resilience, and food security are very clear to us. So the question is, what's a donor to do? We know this is important. We've known it's important for years. Our last strategy 10 years ago noted the importance of addressing conflict shocks, but at the time we were dealing with a very different donor universe where we were much more out on our own, and we had to consider it other people's problems. Someone else is going to take care of the conflict piece because we have a full raft of issues to take care of ourselves, and we realize that doesn't work. And so integrating conflict into our new strategy has been a real priority for us. But I have to note, our goal is still, as an office, food and nutrition security of vulnerable populations improved and sustained. Despite the name Food for Peace, food security and not peace building is our primary objective. So our new strategy is very resilience focused. In our universe, and I think along with the USAID Resilience Center, that means that we are, you know, carrying out work in ways that address food security risks, that strengthen resilience capacities, and create transformative opportunities. For us, that means working in a host of sectoral areas that influence food security. That can be nutrition, livelihoods, financial inclusion, disaster risk reduction, natural resource management, climate change adaptation. I could go on and on. It's really important that we make sure that our work is context specific, because every context we work in is hugely different, and there are different risks and different capacities that we have to work with. The other big issue I think that's worth noting, because there's some synergy with Daniel and John's remarks, is that our strategy is also systems focused. So once a strategic objective is really focused on people, it's change at the individual and household level, and again across this host of relevant sectoral areas. But the other strategic objective in the strategy is focused on change at the systems level. So looking at how can we transform communities and institutions, these institutions that support the individuals and households where change is taking place, and make it more sustainable and make it easier to really address risk in a more viable way. So one of the big issues for us, and again, we struggled with how to integrate conflict into our framework. We are food security actors. We speak in a language of food security. We carry out work. We speak in a language of resilience. These are all part of a vocabulary. And so I kept getting faced with the question, what is it that we would do then? What is it that we do? Like, what's the little box that is conflict-sensitive programming? And really, we've worked a lot with the Office of Conflict Management and Mitigation. We've done a lot of discussion with partners. And what we've ended up with is a set of strategic principles or cross-cutting IRs that I think give us a space within our own universe to address conflict sensitivity and make sure that it's integrated into our work in ways that strengthen our ability to address conflict risk, that help to strengthen connectors in society, reduce the dividers. And those strategic principles really address people, groups, and institutions themselves. One of them is focus on gender equity and youth empowerment. Our commitment to it is longstanding. USAID's, the evidence is abundantly clear. But what's really new is a focus on youth. And really taking into trying to take into account this kind of forgotten demographic. And it's something that we're coming across in more and more of our context analysis and looking at the environments we're programming in. Disenfranchised youth are an incredible risk. And the behaviors and their potential role in activities that undermine food security and physical security are tremendous. But this demographic also offers a tremendous opportunity if we can make sure that we create opportunities, we arm youth with the right capacities, access to knowledge, access to resources. There are tremendous opportunities for positive change. So we need to harness that. A second, and I'm sorry, I have to just run through these so briefly, but a second focus area is around social cohesion and linkages, about groups. And it's within communities, between communities and groups, and I'd also note, you know, the importance of strengthening linkages vertically between communities and local government actors or local, you know, private sector resources and support. This is an area, I think some of the findings from their research is very interesting, and we have findings, too, that indicate that some forms of bonding versus bridging versus linking are much more viable in some instances than others, and it's something that's come up in our own extensive research on sustainability in our food security programs we've been carrying out with Tufts. So I think there's definitely more that we want to look at around that, but that... It's an area of work that not only increases the impact of our food security programs through agricultural cooperatives or women's groups or mothers' groups and linkages with government resources and knowledge and support, but that it may have a profound effect on peace and security as well. Finally, social accountability is a third of these strategic principles. And this addresses the institutional level, and it's really our effort to ensure that all service delivery, whether it's through government actors, civil society, the private sector, or even our own implementing partners, is managed in a transparent, accountable, and participatory way. So simply put, on the demand side, communities should have a voice in expressing their needs and how those needs should be met. And on the supply side, service providers need to take that into account. It's an element in our strategy that we feel is critically important to achieve our own food security ends, but that also will allow us to really bolster our efforts to address conflict risk at the same time by increasing this environment of transparency, accountability, and participation.